That's one thing. When you're in the church, you have to be flexible. Everything about following Jesus is about giving you flexibility. You know, be praying for Preston's home with the migraine. He was supposed to be a liturgist today, so you be flexible. So my brothers and sisters, in echoing the words of Psalms 25, God owes salvation. There is wisdom, peace, and joy for those who keep your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us in your truth and teaching us to do your will. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning's scripture is coming from the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 9. We'll be reading from verses 2 through 7. But I want to read a part of verse 1 just to tell you where we're coming from. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. For they will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors divining the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burdens from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, and just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war, all will be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. His government and its peace will never end. That's the good news. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's army will make this happen. The word of God for the people of God. Yes, indeed. The season of Advent is a waiting game. Everyone is waiting for something. Students anxiously wait for finals to be over to start the Christmas break. I heard Felicia and Frank talking about we got 2 more weeks of class and then we'll be done. Some employees have this big wait and they hold their breath just waiting to learn whether or not they got a bonus or not for Christmas. You have retailers. Retailers are counting the days until they count the bottom line from the Christmas, the holiday frenzies. Kids of all ages can't wait to open up their gifts that's unwrapped by their parents on Christmas morning that starts to appear even now. Everyone is waiting for the wrong things. Advent is not about waiting for sales stuff or Santa. Advent is about waiting for the appearance of something both eagerly anticipated and yet wholly unexpected. Let me say that again. Advent is about waiting for the appearance, not of something, but someone, eagerly anticipated yet woefully unexpected. Jesus is not an Advent way of cutting away a cutout that we do on calendars. Jesus is the whole cutout. He's the whole shebang. He's the story of Advent, Christmas and Christmas time. And here we are at the beginning of our series, Waiting Room, the first Sunday of here Advent, hearing this very familiar Christmas story. This passage is typically read at Christmas Eve. But we're doing it right now as we sit in the waiting room of Advent. It's as though Isaiah, who looked down through the ages and see the Lord Jesus full of grace and truth, making down known the wonders of God's redeeming love to those who have heard him gladly say and found him as the light of life. Yes, Isaiah prophesied the birth of the future child, Jesus, who will bring about true freedom, peace, joy for the people. It is a beautiful reminder of the power of hope. Everything about that passage shout hope. And that's why I like it said, nevertheless. Yes, Isaiah prophesied. But when he wrote this prophecy, the Israelites had not yet been taken into captivity, but they were experiencing increased opposition from the Assyrians. For in Isaiah 8, it ended in the darkness and gloom of corrupt and wicked people who were seeking the occult wisdom from mediums and rejected the wisdom of God. People who were roaming the earth in angry despair and cursing God. Those were the people, that's where they were at the time when this prophet comes. It is as if Paul was writing in Ephesians 2:12 when he said, a people living without hope and without God in the world. Without hope, without God in the world. Do you know any such people? The times, you know, this is prophesied thousands of years, hundreds of years ago, but it's no different. It's as if that message was for them then and it's still for now. It was a dark time. There was little indication that conflict would end favorably in the timely fashion for the people of Israel. So when God spoke through Isaiah, it became a message that the people of God would cling to for hundreds of years. It was as if God says, let there be light, and there was light. The people would come out of darkness. The people would experience growth, joy, provision, and the end to war. Not just some war, but for every war. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. A child and a son, our child and our son, will be born to usher in the greatest gift, true peace. Friends, but let us not miss the magnitude of this gift of peace. The fact that he had come for us was to benefit us. And his kingdom will reign forever. Amen? Because later on, we did hear Jesus saying in John 14, peace I give, I leave you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Plus, what the world needs, as the prophet says clear, is not some primarily better philosophy of government or some perfect system of legislation, but a person. A person who has the character, the wisdom, and the power needed to rule for God's among those people. This is about a person coming, not some system that people are talking about and wanting. This is the promise then, and it is promise now, and the promise forever. When you read through Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, one of the most famous passages in the entire book, he answers these hopes and dreams of the world. For he predicts a perfect ruler who will reign forever and ever over a prosperous and peaceful realm, we are still benefiting from that prophecy because it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This is Jesus, the perfect ruler of the world, and the government will be on his shoulders. Friends, Jesus at last is the answer to the quest for a perfect and lasting government. His shoulders will bear that weight, and they will not buckle. As Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. But here's the good news. Here's the good news in this waiting room of Advent. Our hope as people of God is found in and fulfilled in one person, our Jesus. For unto us a child is given. The wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The people of God knew this was not just some prep talk to help them starve off the despair over the current situation. This was the promise from God. I know when we were kids, it seems like forever to get to Christmas morning. You remember that? And I'm convinced at this point, thinking back through those days, when it's Christmas and constantly asking, you know, I'm convinced that when they build up this Advent calendar with the changed and chocolate windows, I'm convinced it was inspired by these parents, my parents, tired of hearing the children ask, how many days till Christmas? So we needed a calendar to fool them. Some kids have this concept of time, right? Little concept of time. For the youngest and the most enthusiastic, a day seems like a very long time. And a week seems like forever. I wonder if, you know, we put the kids in timeout. Wonder why that works. Because they have no concept. You put them in 5 minutes timeout, they think it's forever. They have no concept of time. So this promise, the promise that this special toy on Christmas morning compels kids to keep hoping and to keep waiting, keep trying to be on their best behavior, and keep watching the calendar until the day arrives. But as grown-ups, we can embrace this unabashed hopefulness. Not that we're waiting for Christmas morning, but we're waiting for Jesus to return. The same spirit our kids will have waiting, we can embrace it, waiting for his return. The people of Israel needed an Advent calendar with 700 years of windows. That's how long they waited for the birth of the prophesied child. And then it wasn't what they wanted. They waited all this time, 700 years, and it wasn't what they wanted. Because this gift that was wrapped in a swaddling cloth was not the child they expected. Has everybody ever watched that movie in the 80s, Better Off Dead? Well, I wish I could show the clip, but they have some things in there that might not sit well with some of you. But in this scene, it is one of the best worst Christmas scene in film. It says, first it goes like this. I'm going to try and explain this scene. Just try and picture it. First, you had one of the character, John Cusa, buys his ex-girlfriend this tiny little teddy bear, only to learn that her current boyfriend bought a big body-sized teddy bear. So he wasn't so happy. Then the QDPI foreign exchange student who was suffering all these crazy advances from one of the nerd of the sun unwraps now her gifts and wrap it was a picture of this porky looking boy wrapped in a rope frame, disappointed. Now Kozak dad buys the family this brand new garage door for holidays. Good, not a good start. But the Kozak scene, Steen's mom stealing the scene. This great, wonderful thing came now and bought this weirdest thing for the dad, and bought it was a full-size aardvark pajama thing with the hood of the animal itself, and thought that was the best gift. But you know what she gave the son? Individually wrapped TV dinners. So he's watched him there unwrapping each of these TV dinners one after the other. Can you imagine the look in his face? Open the next gift, another TV dinner, and just keep going. This scene was a deck of disappointments one after the other. But as we grow older, we learn what disappointment does feel like. We all have experienced times when Santa or our parents did not deliver on Christmas morning. This becomes even more glaring in the homes, like the homes that I have adopted, when the struggle for financial means the Christmas can look a bit bleaky. We find that in recent years, kids began to ask for some big ticket items on their list because they just saw their friend down, they compare notes, they see what everybody gets. And they see that Susie down the street had got an iPad, and their Santa is bringing them a coloring book and crayons. In adult, we can gain perspective. In looking back, when you recognize the times we didn't get the things that we wanted the most, the newest gaming system, the designer clothes, or the decked, tricked-out car. It wasn't because the thing we needed most, but nor was it the best thing for us in the long run. Hindsight is always 20/20. Though it might be easy to judge our Jewish brothers and sisters for rejecting Jesus, it's more productive to learn from their mistakes. We can find ourselves in solidarity with their feelings because they were waiting for a Messiah. While we must wait, we must work to temper our expectation with the reality that what's best is not always most self-serving. The Jewish people expected this king to come in riding on a stallion, a warrior for them. But while waiting, they created kings in their own image, wonderful to control all the masses. Their image of a Messiah was just like the Romans that had occupied the space. But instead, God gave a king who was more concerned and with conquering sin and inviting people into everlasting kingdom that is bearing that's not wearing any political power around it. As we anticipate Jesus' return, instead of longing for the ways that we might benefit, not that we can earn it anyway, we've learned that the last 4 weeks, we can actively pursue of helping others experience this freedom, this joy and peace that Isaiah prophesied. It's not for us. This is a season of giving. Some of that giving is to share the story of Jesus, is to share to God what this freedom looks like. Some of that giving is just to sit at the table and share someone, invite someone new to your table. I can't say that enough. I saw a picture on Facebook. I think it was Susan Webb post a picture of their table, a long white pink table with their family outside. And I'm like, it's so Jesus. You know, I like the exegete images. And I looked at the picture. It was white linen cloth and it looks like a green vine or something in the middle going down. It was so beautiful. I just saw the white, I seen that the light coming down, and I see the green coming down, the vine, God, the vine coming and just feeding them. It was a beautiful picture. I have to tell her about it. What a thing is it? Just sitting there, and I've just seen all of those. We've been on this branching and vine vision for us for a long time. But seeing that, that's what it is. Coming out, feeding them the spirit, feeding them the love and joy of Jesus Christ. There's a lot we have to give of ourselves, out of ourselves. Because as the scripture said, the light came in and shined upon them. The light has already shone into you. Amen? gotta do is show somebody what that light looks like. Jesus. We're waiting in this room, waiting for the Savior. Ask him, what are you waiting for? We don't like to wait. Nobody likes to wait. We think every time must be full with something. I'm so guilty. I'm at the stoplight, and I'm really looking at my calendar. Okay, where I need to change this appointment. I got to fill up. I can't just watch the light to go green. We have to be doing. We feel like waiting is wasted time. But this season, this Advent season, it's a time for us not to be busy, but to sit and wait in silence, in the presence of God. Not to be thinking all the time to fill it up, but to wait in it. That's just the waiting room of Advent is inviting us to do. Like a child waiting for Christmas. You can be confident that in due time, what God gives you will not disappoint. And in that, you will find the peace. I invite you this season as we enter in the waiting room of Advent to meditate on those awesome titles given to Jesus in this passage we heard today. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. That's all God, without boundaries, without limits, available to you. Everlasting Father, there's no end into his love. There's no narrowness for his love. It's deep and wide. And lastly but not least, the Prince of Peace. I invite you to meditate on those titles. See what they mean into your lives. Where did any one of them show up in your life? And worship Jesus in the light of those words, its titles. May God peace be with us all as we wait in this room of Advent. Amen.